Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. I think it's a very important message, especially as it concerns you and me, the fact that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and how important this particular chapter is for us. John chapter 13, verse 1, beginning to read at verse 1, says this. Now before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. I am reading from the Modern English Version. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now supper being concluded, the devil had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and wrapped himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had, in which he was wrapped. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "You do not understand what I am doing now, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knows who would betray him, therefore he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet, he put on his garments, and he sat down again, and he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You speak accurately, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it happens, that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." And then I want you to skip over to verse 34. And he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And I want to speak with you just for a few moments this morning on washing the dust off our feet. Washing the dust off our feet. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would animate me by the power of your Holy Spirit. That you would help me to relay to this, your people, what is on your heart. And I pray that, Lord, most importantly, that your word would speak into our hearts, Lord. That you would make the word life. That it would bear fruit in the hearts of your people. Lord, because it's your word, you've promised it will not return void. And so we commit it into your hand. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. This story, this scene in the New Testament finds us at a particular time when Jesus is at the Last Supper. Jesus knows that his time has come, that he would soon be taken, would be going to the cross, giving his life for the sin of the whole world. And as you know, because these are the final moments that he would have with his own disciples, he begins to instruct them on various things. This chapter, this final scene at the Last Supper, would be really the course of a few chapters long, as Jesus would not only give them this example of washing their feet, but would in chapters 14, 15 and 16 tell them about the Holy Spirit that was to come, giving them his final words. And in this moment, you can only imagine what was happening there in the presence of the Lord. Jesus knows by the Spirit that his time has come. And so he begins to do something very interesting in the presence of all of his disciples. I'm sure all 12 of them are there. They've all partook of a meal together, the Lord's Supper, which we will be celebrating at the end of service today. Communion is really a symbolic example of that final supper. But as they were there, Jesus, in the midst of them, gets up. And in a sense, it says he takes off his garment. It's not like he got naked. Don't misunderstand the terminology here. The way that the Jews dressed in those days, they wore layers. And so he took out the outer layer and took it off. And he got a towel and he wrapped himself in a towel. And as he wrapped himself in a towel and these disciples are sitting there in front of him, I'm sure they begin to wonder, what is he doing? If you were there, you would have had that same question because this hadn't been done before. But Jesus robed himself in a towel, and there must have been water nearby. He probably poured it into a basin. And as he goes, he gets this basin of water, and he begins to go to the disciples. And with that towel that he has wrapped around himself, he gets their feet, and he begins to pour water over them and begins to wipe their feet. And so as this scene begins to transpire, the Bible says that Jesus came to the feet of Peter, and Peter begins to say, "No, Lord, don't wash my feet." Peter, in many ways, felt unworthy to have the Lord do certain things to him. And in his unworthiness, he said, "Don't wash my feet, Lord. I mean, maybe they didn't smell that great. Maybe he had been walking quite a bit that day and they were real sweaty and dusty and dirty. Maybe he was the one that was doing a lot more walking that day than the rest." But for whatever reason, Peter begins to stop the Lord and says, "Don't wash my feet, Lord." But then Jesus responds and says, "What I'm doing, you don't understand now. You don't understand it, but later you will understand what I'm doing here." And so the Bible says in verse 8, Peter said, "Well, you shall never wash my feet." And he answered, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And I'm sure he begins to wonder, "What are you saying, Lord? I mean, it's feet you're washing." And so Jesus responds again, Peter responds. He says, "Well, then, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, well, then don't wash my feet only, but then wash my hands and my head." And the insinuation is this: Peter knows who Peter is. Peter knows his humanity. Peter had the tendency to speak rashly. He had the tendency to have maybe even a harshness to him. He was Peter. He was rash sometimes. That means he was just led by impulse. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water, he said, "Well, Lord, let me walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." And the Bible says Peter walked on the water for a little bit, but then began to sink. And he said, "Save me, Lord." Jesus reached out his hand, took him out, so on and so forth. Peter was Peter. And he says, "Well, don't wash my feet only, but wash my hands and my head." In essence, what Peter is saying, "I've done a lot of things wrong with these hands. So wash my hands too. Wash my head." I'm sure in some ways he's meaning my thoughts aren't always the best. "So wash my head, wash my hands too." But then I want you to notice Jesus' response. He said, "He who is bathed." In other words, he that has taken a bath needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And he says, "You are clean." I want you to say, "You are clean." Jesus is telling Peter, even contrary to Peter's own understanding of himself, Jesus is saying something very important to Peter. And he's saying, "Look, Peter, because you have put your faith and your trust in me, and you're following me." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I know that you love me. You are following me with all of your heart." He's saying, "You're clean. You are clean." And he says again, "You are clean, but not all of you." And so Jesus is now making an interesting reference. Now picture Jesus. He's washing all of their feet, all 12 of them. And as he's washing their feet, he's washing John's feet. He's washing James's feet, Peter's feet, Andrew's. And he's even washing the feet of Judas Iscariot, the one that was already determined in his heart to betray him. And Jesus knew this. And so Jesus, doing such a humbling thing, being the Lord, the Master, took up a towel, poured water in the basin, and began to wash their dirty feet. And Jesus is telling them, look, you don't understand the significance now, but later on you're going to understand it. And so he says, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. And then he's completely clean. What are you saying, Lord? Jesus is teaching a very important lesson for you and me. Every one of us here, I hope, are his disciples. We are following the Lord and we're praying, God, make me a fisher of men. Make me a disciple that has been learning from the Master. Amen? We're following him. And as we're following him and we're walking with him, as Christian people, washed in the blood of Jesus, we at times are going to make mistakes. How many of you know that? There is not an individual in here that will not make mistakes. And sometimes some of them are horrific, awful mistakes. Some of those mistakes, if allowed to, can fester and become big issues. But it doesn't have to be that way if we will follow the lesson of Scripture. You see, in those days, they would take their bath and they would clothe themselves with many garments. I mean, it was like robes, like I said, layers. The only exposed parts technically were their hands, their faces, and their feet. And many a time they wore sandals. So instead of, you know, one time I saw this funny little show, Socks and Sandals. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but a few years ago I saw a funny little commercial of socks and sandals where they weren't wearing socks and sandals. That's my point. They wore exposed feet with sandals that were laced. And so as they would go throughout their day, you know, they didn't have as many paved roads back then. They had Roman roads that were made of rock, but they were, for the most part, walking through dusty trails. And so on their daily journeys, as they would walk through from point A to point B and from point B to point C throughout their day, obviously dust would begin to be collected on their feet. And so the only part that technically was getting dirty was their feet. In other words, they were exposed to the elements. Maybe they accidentally stepped into a puddle, or as they kept walking, the dust stuck to the wetness, and so on and so forth. And it's obvious, I'm sure, that sometimes there would be a little bit of a stench or a little smell sometimes. And so as they would go through their daily routine, they would get dusty. Now, in some ways, as we look at our day, most of us wear covered shoes, right? Most of us aren't wearing sandals. I mean, the summertime, eventually we will. You go walk out there like that for too long, you might get frostbite. You know what I mean? Nowadays, at this time of the year. But it's not referring to our day in this sense. It's referring to another. As a child of the living God, we are taking, our lives are in a world that is dirtier, isn't it? This world that we live in is not clean, it's dirty. And as we go through our day, there are sometimes things that we will see, we will sometimes do things we shouldn't have done, and in many ways those different aspects are like dust being collected on our feet. You see, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were bathed, washed in the blood of Jesus, you are clean. But as a child of God, you're still dwelling in a wicked world that has a lot of influence. It's trying to vie it. It's trying to get our attention. And sometimes we see things we shouldn't see. Sometimes we go a place we shouldn't have gone. Sometimes we trip up and we feel bad about it. We got dirty, didn't we? And the lesson here is that you and I have to be very understanding towards our brother and our sister, because there are times when they will, just like we will, get dirty. And instead of getting on our high horse and condemning them and saying, you dirty person, no, we must, like Jesus, take up the towel. And we, like Jesus, must be willing to bend down and get their dirty feet, spiritually speaking, and be able to wash them. You see, some churches have the tradition of having foot washing services. They literally will sit on an altar, they'll have literal basins of water, and the members of the church are out there washing their feet. And I'm not trying to criticize that, but the meaning is not for us to go and wash literal feet. The meaning is to be there and understand that people's feet get dirty and they're clean in regards to the blood of Jesus. But we must be willing to allow them to be human. Amen? And be patient with them so that they can grow and learn just like we are growing and learning. Amen. And to be honest with you, I prefer you not to see my feet. Amen. Jesus did something very interesting, like I said. Not only did he wash the 11 others who he knew would be faithful to him, all of them except one died a martyr's death for him. The Apostle John was the only one that died a natural death, around 90 to 100 years old. The only one. The rest of them died a martyr's death. Some died on crosses. Some were pierced through with swords. Some were literally pierced through with darts. I mean, the history is there. But there was one of those that Jesus was washing. And we're talking about Judas Iscariot. If there was a man that didn't deserve his feet to be washed by Jesus, if we're going to judge it that way, it was Judas, wasn't it? But Judas was there with his feet washed just like the rest. And what Jesus is showing us, we're not only supposed to be very patient at washing of their feet, but just, you know, that one, we're not going to wash their feet. I mean, God forbid. Be very mean and ugly towards them, but be so kind and open-hearted to these. Did you know that God shows no partiality whatsoever? Being partial means to show favor to one, but showing no favor to the next. Partiality, the Bible says, is evil, is wicked. Racism is like partiality, and God hates it. And so whenever we're going to church and we know that a brother or a sister is struggling, it is none of our business to go and condemn them. What we must do is, like Jesus, humble ourselves and by faith let them wash their feet. Amen? I mean, not let them. We should wash their feet. Be very patient with them. Sometimes we'll go through the day and we'll be at a particular place, and some of those worldly people are saying a bunch of bad words. They're telling their ugly stories, and you know, you really can't get out of that situation, so you're kind of just trying to plug your ears. You got dirty dust. But as far as God's concerned, he wants to wash your feet. Amen. Don't be condemned when that worldly influence tries to rub on you. It's just dust. But Jesus wants to wash your feet. Amen. But let me say something else here. You see, when we are traveling and doing our daily things and the dust is collecting on our feet, that's because we're going through our routine. We're doing our daily things. Amen. You can't escape the dust on our sandaled feet, so to say. But what God doesn't want us to do is to go and say, well, let me just go and walk in the mud piles and all the mud puddles and just go and stay putting our feet in mud all day, does he? Think about it. You're a child of the living God. God doesn't want us to go and throw ourselves in the mud like a pig and start bathing ourselves in the mud like swine. Hear what I'm saying? That means that we shouldn't go and say, well, I'm going to watch this rated R movie and, oh, well, God's blood's going to wash me anyways. You know what that is? That's just throwing yourselves in a mud puddle on purpose and taking for granted the fact that you're clean. See, God doesn't want us to be that way. Amen? There are things coming out today, movies and shows, books, that really no Christian should be reading, no Christian should be watching. I remember a few years ago I preached a sermon and named 50 Shades of Grey, for instance. It seems to be such a popular thing, and yet no Christian has any business getting involved with that stuff. I'm really serious with this. But then it gets worse. You know, they're talking about coming out with a brand new second part to it, where it was 50 Shades Darker or something like that. So we say, oh no, but God's grace, you know, I'm going to go watch that and I'm going to... Should we throw ourselves in the mud? No. God wants us to live a life that if we get dusty or things like that, well then God's grace is there to wash us, but we're not to take advantage of God's grace either. Amen? And so in this day, listen to me, the enemy is coming in and he's spewing out his wickedness like a flood. It's worse today than it's been in the times past. The filth, the wickedness is accessible, I mean, in so many different ways. You know, through electronic mediums, if it's through phones, if it's through computers, if it's through, you know, even through HD dish, whatever. It's so accessible. We must guard our hearts, amen? But just listen to me. Sometimes we'll have a brother or a sister, and we must be very patient with them, because sometimes they're not understanding that yet, and they've just thrown themselves in the mud. What do we do? Condemn them and kick them while they're down? No, we've still got to be patient and go down and wash them. Amen? Do you all hear what I'm saying today? You see, Jesus is describing all of this, and as all of this begins to happen, he's showing them by example what he has already done. Jesus has washed us thoroughly by his blood. But there are times when we need to come to him in prayer and repentance and say, God, forgive me, I did this, this happened, or I heard this, I didn't want to, but it happened, it's dusty, he'll wash us. Amen? But we must also be that patient with our brother and our sister when they come to us and say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. I did it wrong, I admit it, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And we must forgive. Amen? The Bible is so strong on that. It says if we don't forgive, then God can't forgive us. And I can only, you know, that's strong, but it's true. I mean, Pastor James didn't say it, the Bible does. And so we must be willing to forgive. In other words, wash their feet. Amen. I said to read this later on, verse 34 of that same chapter. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. In other words, I've loved you and you know it. Now love one another the way I've loved you. And he says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That washing of the feet that Jesus did was expressing love in a very unique way. And we must learn to express love towards our brothers and sisters in the same way. Amen? You know, we should never, ever condemn someone, you know, if they've missed church or if they, you know, maybe someone has been, you know, out for a little while and they come in to criticize them. God forbid. We should always have our arms wide open saying, welcome. Amen? Amen. Welcome home. Amen. Amen. When that sinner comes into this church, praise the Lord. Amen. That's the heart of God for people. And so this story of washing the dust off our feet is very important. Amen. Because you're going to get dusty whether we like it or not. We're living in a cruel world, a wicked world. But thank God that he washes our feet. Amen. Not only has he cleansed us, he's also cleaning us. Amen. One more verse, if you don't mind, and then we'll just say a prayer because we're going to have communion together. John 15, I want you to turn there real fast, the next couple chapters over. And I want you to just see this verse. John 15 and verse 3 says this. You are already clean. I want you to say that. Clean. Clean. Praise the Lord. It says, you are already clean through the word which I have spoken to you. I remember, let me just say this story. I forgot about it. Let me just say it since I remembered. And one day I walked into class there at the Bible school. And as I walked into the classroom one day, I walked in the door and there was a dry erase board here, the projector there, and the class full of students. And when I walked in, I remember the students were acting like they were kind of like just mocking one of the students. They were kind of just like harassing him, like just teasing him. And I remember his face was red and his head was down. You can tell he was definitely condemned because he had done something wrong. He had made a mistake and he made a fool of himself. And they were just making fun of him and mocking him. Someone had drawn a picture on the dry erase. And on the dry erase, it had the body of this person. And so there he was, and there was his head chopped off, and there was a shark, like a big shark, like a great white shark with teeth going towards his head. It was like it bit his head off. And so what the thing was that it was showing was this guy was in condemnation, and he felt horrible. But I remember when I walked, see, I didn't know what was going on. I walked in the door, and the Holy Spirit came upon me because I saw that, and I saw that. And all of a sudden, it just happened. And so I went and I got that dry erase because they saw me and I noticed it. And so I got the dry erase and I began to do something with that picture. And so there was this guy with his head chopped off and a shark. And so all of a sudden I went and drew his head back on. And I drew his body and all of a sudden I drew him sitting down with feet sticking out and toes. And then I drew Jesus bent down washing his feet. And then I erased the shark of condemnation off of there. And then I said, because I didn't know what was going on, I said, look, what God has cleansed, don't call dirty anymore. I said, Jesus has made you clean. And it's our responsibility to wash our brother's feet, not condemn him for the wrong that was done. And man, was that a teaching moment. You know, I have moments that always like that. But when we went to Pennsylvania this past, the end of October, I saw him and I said, hey, remember that time? What happened in class? He goes, oh yeah, Brother James, I remember that. Oh man, I remember. So help me so much. And no condemnation, amen. Wash the feet, amen. We're not to be kicking our brother and our sister while they're down. They are clean. Amen. They got their feet a little dirty, but as far as God's concerned, they are whole. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.